Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Well, this is the last week of school. Yes, after today, there's Wednesday, there's a teacher work day on Thursday, and then Friday is a 10 a.m. dismissal, and I'm sure you can hear the cheers throughout the county that this is the last week of school, not only coming from the students, but also from the teachers and administration. And with that, it's not like school actually ends. There's also going to be a summer learning camp. And with us today is our guest, Dr. Diana Wood. She's the K-4 Curriculum Supervisor for Putnam County Schools. We're going to talk about the summer learning camp, how this year went as far as curriculum for K-4, and maybe what's ahead for next year. So, Dr. Wood, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So are you giving a collective sigh of relief as well, like everybody else is in the county?
Absolutely. We're taking that sigh of relief, looking to wrap up the year. But lo and behold, as soon as we finish Tuesday, we will start our summer learning camp.
Now, summer learning camp. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like. Now, back when I was going to school, if you went to summer school, it meant you failed something or it was just, you know, maybe it wasn't optional. But this is a little bit different.
It is. So this year we're serving, or this summer we're serving our rising kindergarten through ninth graders. So our current pre-K through eighth grade.
Okay.
And it's really just an opportunity to have an extension of learning for them this summer for 16 days straight, we're calling it. So it's May 28th through June 18th. They'll engage in 2 hours of reading every day, 2 hours of math. They'll have some physical activity. They'll have recess, lunch. They'll have STEAM activities in our elementary sites, which are like STEM activities,
Oh, yeah. You
know, science, the technology, engineering, those kinds of things. And then, you know, they'll be served breakfast, lunch, and a snack. And so we're excited about this year's camp.
Well, so 16 straight days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think of summer school, I'm thinking, oh, man, they're there all the time from the time school is out until it starts back. But really, only 16 days, which is not too bad because that still allows parents to be able to take some vacations. You still pretty much have the whole month of July, part of the month of June. So why 16 days? What is it, you know, can you get a lot of instruction done in 16 days? What is it about 16 days?
Sure. Well, so in the past few years, and we were doing our summer learning camp based on requirements from the state.
Mm-hmm.
We did 4 weeks and we did 4 days a week for four weeks. And so that was basically the month of June.
Right.
And that worked really well. This year we thought we would try just a different angle and get those same days of instruction. So just as much instruction for the kids,
but
do it 16 consecutive days just straight so that our teachers and our students could have a little more summer.
Yeah.
Because when you do the whole month of June, you know, you have 4th of July, and then for educators, it's time to gear up, and here we're going again. So we really wanted our teachers and students to get the best of both worlds and have some time to engage in those extension summer learning activities, but then also have a time to just take a breather and
enjoy some summer.
But, you know, get some advantage of being a teacher and get a few days off until we're ready to go back again for next year.
Now, how many students will be attending summer learning camp?
So we have around 900 students in five locations. So
okay.
We have four elementary locations, and then we're also serving some middle school students at Prescott Middle School, and then also at Berks Elementary in Monterey, we'll have middle school students as well. So around 900.
Now, what's the criteria for summer learning camp? Is it anybody who wants to go? Is it those that really need to go? I mean, kind of how do you get 900 students?
Sure. So we reached out to the schools and we let the teachers identify students who they really thought that this would be a great opportunity. We're looking for, we'd want to avoid that summer slide where you take 2 months off of school and you, you know, have forgotten everything. like we all could. So really, we just identified some students and invited them to summer camp, and here we have 900. So,
Now, is there more second and third graders, fourth graders, eighth graders? I mean, mm-hmm. Or is it pretty much distributed evenly throughout?
Sure. There's really a variety, but I will say, because many people have heard of that Literacy Success Act where our third graders are kind of, they have to have promotion pathways to go to fourth grade.
Right.
Summer learning camp is one of those. So for many of our third graders, we went ahead and invited them just to give them that opportunity and let that be one of their pathways to fourth grade in case they didn't quite make meeting or exceeding expectations on the TCAP test.
Right.
And so we do have a great deal of third graders, but we really are mixed in the elementary ages, K-4. And then it kind of, you know, it kind of slacks off a little bit in middle school. We don't have quite as many, but we're excited about the ones that are coming.
Now, 4 elementary schools and 1 middle school, and you've got 900 students. So how many teachers, volunteers need to make that happen?
Sure. So we are employing about 100 teachers,
okay.
And those are certified teachers. So those will be the teachers that will be delivering the reading, the math. We'll have an intervention time. I guess I forgot to say that when I was going through the day, but we'll have a time of intervention too, where it's the kind of like the future ready time that we have during the school year.
Yeah.
So at that time, every child will be getting what he or she needs. So we have certified teachers in those roles, also teaching STREAM and PE. And then we also have a great deal of support staff that will be assisting, you know, with all the things that it's required to run, even if it's a summer school.
Right.
So we probably have about 30 or 40 support staff as well. Then we have cafeteria staff.
I was going to say, kids are going to get hungry. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have cafeteria. We have SROs. We have nurses. So it takes a village to run a school like that.
And will transportation be available?
Yes, for sure. Transportation is available. And as the parents were registering, that was when they indicated whether they would need transportation or not.
Well, I know this is a big week because a lot of the testing that has been going on toward the end of school, you start seeing some of those results, mm-hmm. which, again, will probably affect how many students will be going to summer learning camp. So you may have some students who maybe didn't fare as well on the TCAP and now look at that pathway and maybe now they're going to have to go to summer school. So do you expect a big fluctuation in numbers over the next week?
That is yet to be seen, yes.
Yeah.
Our registration closed, I think it was maybe April 26th or so for everyone. The only students now that we would enroll at this late time
would be third graders.
And that's if they, you know, along with their parents and their teachers,
sure.
choose that pathway. And if you are a third grader and you, you use that as your pathway to promotion, you do have to have 90% attendance.
Right.
And so we do, and you have to make adequate growth during the time of summer learning. So we do have a couple of days tacked on to the end of our summer learning camp that's just for third grade if they happen to miss because fevers still happen and, you know, some
right.
of those things, it's inevitable. So we want to give an opportunity for them to meet that 90% attendance.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, I know with the results coming out and some of those things, are, you know, Jason Stickler, who is our mm-hmm. test guy mm-hmm. at the central office, is still wading through some of those. And I guess you just kind of have to wait and see because there's retakes that they can have and all those things. So it's really just kind of a waiting process. Then you just kind of have to go with the flow.
That's exactly right. You've got the process down pat. Yes.
Well, now how long have you been involved with Summer Learning Camp?
So I moved into this role at the district office with elementary instructional supervisor in 2021. And
okay.
so they had just completed their summer learning camp. And so this will be my third year being involved with summer learning camp at the district level.
Right. And obviously there's a lot of planning that goes on. And when you talk about the curriculum, and you kind of gave us an idea, having maybe you only have 50 second graders.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come up with curriculum for just 50 second graders as opposed to maybe 300 third graders.
Sure.
So what is that like? What's that process like?
So we have some wonderful instructional coaches in our district.
Yeah.
And so they have worked really hard and they do this every year. They plan the 16 days of lessons for summer learning camp
okay.
for every grade level. And so if you're going to teach math at summer learning camp, they will hand you the 16 lessons. And it comes from our high quality instructional materials.
Oh, yeah.
It comes from our Reveal Math. And then in ELA, it comes from CKLA. And so they just plan that out. And so it's an extension of the school year. And so it's all on our coaches. They do a great job.
We'll talk a little bit about the coaches. Where do they come from? How do you come up with the coaches? And I guess they're working on this pretty much all year long, but what is that process like?
Sure. So we, like I said, we have wonderful instructional coaches, and they really are former teachers. So they've been in the classroom.
Right.
They've been in the trenches. They know what it's like. And so they have really, I would say all of our coaches are content experts. They kind of just are very highly qualified in their subject area. So we have them in either ELA or math. And they are leaders in our schools, in elementary schools. But with having 11 schools, we have our coaches divided. So they coach three or four schools, each set of coaches. And so they are only coaching ELA or math. But they are really instrumental in supporting the teachers. They prep with the teachers weekly or regularly. And sometimes they get pulled away.
Yeah.
But they really are able to lead the pack in looking at data and helping teachers figure out what to do next when they see how their students have scored. So they really just work hand in hand with the teachers. They're really a support system for the teachers, but also for the administrators. They really work closely with the school administrators as well.
Yeah.
And then I work with them as, you know, so it's kind of
right.
just a great little vertical spine there where we all stay aligned and hopefully the students are the big winners in that kind of structure.
Well, and I think it's important to really emphasize that there is learning that's going to be going on. You know, people hear summer school, and I go back to the movie from the 80s, Mark Harmon, the summer school movie, where it was just kind of like, you know, you had the delinquents show up, and then there wasn't a whole lot going on, and they were just getting into all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not – I mean, it is structured. It is – you know, you talk about all these different things. And I mean, it's very impressive to think about the learning that's going to go on and all the different phases of a summer school.
That's exactly right. And we feel really good about the program that we've planned for this summer. But there's fun to be had in there too.
Exactly.
So,
you gotta have some
you know,
fun.
We definitely are academically focused, but it is summer. And so we want them to have a great time
the
too.
The Wow Bus shows
the
up.
The Wow Bus
comes. You gotta
comes.
Have some Kona ice in there.
Hopefully all those things will happen. So, you know, sometimes there's water day towards the end. So the principals do a great job of creating just that fun environment of learning.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Diana Wood, the K-4 Curriculum Supervisor for Putnam County Schools. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters. This is Local Matters with the Focus on Education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and our guest today is Dr. Diana Wood, the K-4 Curriculum Supervisor for Putnam County Schools. We've been talking about the summer learning camp that's going to be starting after school gets out. This is the last week of school. Friday is a 10 a.m. dismissal day. And what does summer look like for Dr. Diana Woods? I know we talked about summer learning camp, but what does summer look like for you?
Well, summer is pretty busy.
Yeah.
In fact, my husband and I were talking about it, and he says, when is your slow time?
Yeah.
And that's a good question. But, of course, the beginning of summer is those summer learning camps. So the first part of June into that June 21st, you know, we're doing a lot of here and there, you know, troubleshooting and as things come up.
Making sure things go smooth.
Sure, making sure things go smoothly. So it's very focused on summer learning camp. But in the meantime and then beyond when summer learning camp finishes, there's a lot of planning for the next year.
Right.
And that next year comes pretty quickly because we'll have new employee orientation.
Yeah.
We'll have leadership retreat with our school leaders. And so really just digging in and making sure we have the best start to 24-25. So there's a lot of planning that goes into that.
Now, are you going to get to go on any trips or take any vacation time? I mean, what surely you're going to do something fun. I know you lay beside the pool and enjoy that. That'll be great, too. But what else?
That's right. Well, often we don't choose to travel in the summer. But this year, my husband and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh,
so we might do a little getaway, you know, at the end of June. But, you know, nothing big. So,
yeah. Well, that's good. And you kind of said in the first segment that you had been in this position for 3 years. Mm-hmm. You came in 2021. So tell us about your educational experience up until you became the K-4 supervisor for Putnam County Schools.
Sure. So I was a teacher, and that was probably definitely my favorite job. My heart is still in the classroom.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's the most important job. And in a school system, that's where all the magic happens is in the classroom with the kids. So I actually started teaching in the early 90s, 1993, I'll just go ahead and say. And my first job was in Memphis. And so I taught in a private school there while my husband was finishing medical school. And so then he did his residency in Nashville. So I taught in Nashville.
Right.
We just keep moving down I-40. And then we stopped when we got to Cookeville. So I did have a little time that I stayed home with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have to say, I had an experience when my oldest daughter was in second grade. Her teacher tragically got killed in a car accident.
Oh, my goodness.
On Good Friday before, you know, on Good Friday right before Easter.
Yeah.
And so at the time, Dr. Kim Wright, who was the principal, I had been volunteering in the classroom. So she asked me to come back and to come in and just be with the kids and kind of just, you know, nurture them through that. So as it started, I was coming in for the next week, and then I just ended up staying for the year. And I really thought that that was going to be God's way of telling me that what a great life I had, and I had it good. That was, this was my wake-up call, you know. And I love it when you think you're going to tell God what he's going to tell you, because that was not what I got at all. When I had that experience and went back in the classroom with the kids, it started, it just awakened a part of myself that I had forgotten about.
Right.
And I loved it. I enjoyed being there. So I started getting that, you know, that hunger to go back.
Yeah.
But I didn't go back immediately. I still, my son was still in preschool. But within the next year or two, I had the opportunity to go back into the classroom. And so I started teaching back at Capshaw, where my kids went to school. So
right.
I was a teacher there for several years. And then the I've got my master's. Mm-hmm. I'm one of these people that did like a long-term, you know, education. I got my BS in 93.
Yeah.
I got my master's in 2010, and I got my doctorate in 2019. So I've really strung my education along. So somewhere in there, I got my master's and had the opportunity for an assistant principal job at Capshaw. And so was the first assistant principal. And they added assistant principal jobs to all the elementary schools in Putnam County. And so I was just blessed to be able to work with Dr. Kim Wright. And she was my mentor. And I learned so much from her for about, I'm probably going to say it wrong, but maybe 5.5 years. And then she retired.
Right.
She retired at in December of 2019.
Okay.
So then I started as a principal January of 2020, and without an assistant principal because we were going to wait.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Then you know what happened in March,
in
the tornado, then the COVID. So,
wow.
So that was a challenging time. And so I was the principal for the next little bit. And then Mr. King approached me with this opportunity to for this role. And I once again stepped out of my comfort zone, and it's been wonderful. I have really, really, as much as I loved Capshaw and where I was, I have truly enjoyed getting to know all the schools and their personalities and their leaders, and be involved with their teachers and be in their classrooms. And it has been just the joy of joys for me.
Well, now where are you from originally?
Well, I was born in California,
okay,
Los Angeles, but you can tell from my accent that I very quickly moved to Tennessee.
Yes.
So I grew up in McMinnville. So I graduated from Warren County High School, and I went to Tech.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Still have family there?
I do. All my family still lives in
Warren County.
That's right.
And now tell us a little bit about your family.
So my own family, I'm married to Ken Wood. He's an internist here in town, and I have three children. I have one who is a behavioral therapist and a BCBA who does behavioral therapy in Nashville. And then my middle child has moved to Dallas, and she is working in marketing for a magazine called Modern Luxury Dallas. And then I have a son who is I guess he's now a senior at the University of Alabama.
Wow.
The boy who wore orange all his life,
yes.
And then he turned and went to Roll Tide.
Went to the dark side.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right. So he's really enjoying that. So,
well, a trip to Dallas. See, I mean, this summer you could go to Dallas.
I know. And I have done that. And that is a lot of fun
that
to
is.
Go see her. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And is it confusing at your house when somebody says Dr. Wood?
It's very confusing. We're starting to get used to it. Ken, my husband, is very sweet to say I'm the real Dr. Wood, which is not true. I turn around and say he's actually the one that can help you unless you're having trouble reading or something.
Yeah.
Then I'm your girl. So, but it is. It's kind of fun.
So K through 4 supervisor, curriculum supervisor. So let's talk about curriculum for a moment. What does that look like when you took over the job? What is one of the first things that that you really had to learn or get used to doing?
Sure. Well, so Jill Ramsey was in my position before I came here. So I've said before that my superpower is that I just follow like icons and rock stars in their profession, because I felt like Dr. Wright was
that. That's right.
And then the same thing
big
with
shoes to fill every time you come
every time.
Wow.
I know. So same thing with Jill. So she really had paved the way with our curriculum in choosing a high quality instructional materials. And so I have just continued that work, and I think the direction that our state has gone with the early reading training and educating all of our educators on the science of reading and how important explicit systematic instruction is in the early grades, along with building knowledge. Those are the two things that our curriculum provides. That's been a game changer. And so we have that in our curriculum. And the exciting thing is when I look across the 11 schools, all of our kids in our 11 elementary schools are getting that. They're getting that systematic explicit instruction, and they're building knowledge around different topics.
Yeah.
And so they have access to that knowledge no matter where they go to school. It doesn't matter if they have a passport and they've been to different countries or they've never been out of Cookeville.
Right.
They get that same knowledge about a variety of topics. And so that's exciting.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we want to touch on a little bit more is about the curriculum in the Putnam County school system, and we'll do that in just a bit. I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters, and that's Dr. Diana Wood. She is the K-4 Curriculum Supervisor for Putnam County Schools. This is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and our guest today is Dr. Diana Wood, the K-4 Curriculum Supervisor for Putnam County Schools. Let's see, we've covered summer learning camp. We've covered where you're from, personal life. Let's get back to the curriculum, because I think that's one thing that probably a lot of people might have questions about or is interested in, is where does the curriculum come from when you're talking about K through fourth grade in Putnam County Schools? So start with kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You know, Jack runs up the hill. I mean, you're talking about reading books and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. How has curriculum changed over the years, and in the 3 years that you've been mm-hmm. involved with curriculum in Putnam County Schools, what does that look like? What has that looked like?
Sure. So, you know, parents may notice that their children are coming home and talking about some really sophisticated topics, you
yeah.
know, even in kindergarten and first
yes.
grade. And so
are they doing algebra in first grade yet?
Well,
I'm just wondering.
They might be doing equations
okay.
in first grade. I mean, for sure doing equations in first grade, but in kindergarten. But, you know, they may be talking about the life cycle of a plant and chlorophyll yeah. and things like that. In first grade, they may be doing something on ancient civilizations, and they are different topics, and they may have a vocabulary word like sarcophagus, and you know, they're just like all this stuff that you're thinking, they're six, how are
yeah.
they learning that? But we know that a child's oral comprehension is advanced from their reading comprehension, and
yeah.
so the idea is that we're exposing them to knowledge about topics, because what we've learned through the research is that once a child can decode words and they yeah. can actually sound out the words, the next thing that will help them understand what they read is having knowledge about a variety of topics. And so that's why CKLA really approaches all of those topics, and they actually build. So a unit they do or a domain they do in kindergarten may build on something in second grade, which builds in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And something in K may build into first grade that build into third grade that went into fourth grade. And so they continue to expound on each other and grow that child's knowledge of that topic, so that when they get to a passage that they've never heard of
yeah.
and they may have something to attach it to, they have some
right.
schema there.
Well, it just seems like the curriculum is under a great scrutiny now.
Mm-hmm.
You see books that need to be banned, or there are things that people don't want their children learning in public schools, and there's this and there's that. How do you manage that? What do you look for? Do you talk to other curriculum supervisors? I mean, how do you manage that? Because it is kind of a very divisive. It can be very divisive.
It certainly can. And we do keep a really sharp eye on, now that we've had this curriculum for a while, we pretty
yeah.
much have, you know, we know it inside and out. But we are always watching for some, you know, anything that we think might not be appropriate for children. But what we're seeing by and large is that it is teaching the children about the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there sometimes just because we know that it exists out there doesn't mean we have to believe in everything.
Sure.
And so,
right.
you know, they may learn about different civilizations and
yeah.
why they thought it rained and
yes.
why they, you know, why they did a rain dance to the god of whoever,
yes.
you know, whatever.
Right.
So they're learning those things. And we talk about it in terms of mythology
yeah.
and fiction and things like that. So knowing that people believe that way does not necessarily
mean, that's
go
how
against,
they,
right, yeah, go right. against what their yeah. parents are teaching them. So we want them to be well-rounded and educated, but we do, we are very sensitive to, it's definitely in my lane, in the elementary lane, we're very sensitive to what is appropriate for young children and what is not.
And I think you talked about coaches that are there to help with curriculum. Do you have teachers that, or the coaches say, well, we've got some teachers that just, you know, are having a hard time teaching this one area, and then you go in, you evaluate, and kind of see, you know, what can be done better? Mm-hmm. I mean, does that happen quite often?
Not often, yeah. But any time a teacher, you know, speaks to a coach or to me about something, I definitely, we always take that seriously, and yeah. we want to, you know, their voice is valuable because they are the ones in the classroom. So we haven't had that often, but sometimes they may wonder about a story or something, and we just address it as we go. But it really hasn't come up very much at all through the years. It may have been when we were early adopters of CKLA, mm-hmm. But in the tenure where I have been here, it's been very rare.
What do you think has been the hardest part of the curriculum for students to grasp? Math?
I will say math has been a challenge because we've talked a lot about ELA.
Yeah.
But one thing that we really try to do in elementary is we're trying to build a conceptual understanding of math. And
okay.
so that looks very different from the way I learned math and
yeah.
probably from the way you learn math.
Probably.
We have something called an algorithm, and that means that's the shortcut to how you get there.
Okay.
And that's what we're used to. When we're used to dividing, doing long division, we have a little protocol that we use, an algorithm that we use, and we're used to it. And so same thing with multiplication and
yeah.
things like that. So as students are learning the conceptual understanding and really understanding why they're doing those little shortcuts when you finally get to the algorithm, that's often, it's not so hard for the students to grasp onto, mm-hmm. but when they go home and they are advised by their parents on their homework and they learn a little quick shortcut, it kind of interrupts that process of learning. And so it's very difficult for parents, I have noticed. And I understand because I was a parent as well with children. So, you know, leaving it to the teachers
yeah.
to teach that process is harder than it sounds, you know,
yes.
because you just want to help you. You're like, the answer is right here. Why did you have to use a whole page to find that answer? So that has been tough in the elementary world. And for that matter, sometimes it's hard for teachers that have been teaching it for a very, really long time because they know how to get them there.
Sure.
But it's really the process that we're trying to teach in the conceptual understanding in elementary school. So,
and having been a teacher and an administrator and now someone who's over K through 4 curriculum, when you see new teachers come into the school system, can you tell where they were educated? Are there some schools that really prepare for our particular curriculum, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, I know we have partnerships. Of course, Tennessee Tech is right here,
sure.
and they're an outstanding education mm-hmm. school. So, you know, do you feel like they're prepared and ready to absorb the curriculum and teach it when they get here?
Well, I feel like that many of ours that are that student teach and do their residency in our Putnam County schools,
yeah.
they probably have a leg up because they have taught that curriculum,
sure.
you know, along with their cooperating teacher, and they've had that mentor teacher.
Yeah.
So they had that opportunity. So they probably come in a little ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a big shift for all of us to really dig into these materials and really, like when I was teaching, we used our teacher manual as a little resource. And I
yeah.
might have used it maybe twice, used that curriculum twice a week.
Right.
And I found all kinds of other things that I would teach in order to teach that standard. But the equity was not there because what I was teaching was not the same thing as what the person beside me or the school down the road was teaching. And so that's
right.
where you get into the variability that we really want equity for our kids.
Right.
So now using that curriculum, it's, you know, it's research based and it's laid out the way, you know, that's developmentally appropriate for kids. And so really to use that fully has been a big shift for everybody. So not just our pre-service teachers or our new teachers coming in,
right.
but just for all of us. And we learn something about the process every day. I'm still learning as well.
Well, and I think you brought up a good point there is because you're trying to get everybody on the same page. And the 5th through 12th curriculum supervisor,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dr. Chris Winningham, also known as Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
I see you and him, you know, your heads together a lot talking about things because the curriculum doesn't just stop after fourth grade. Then they go to middle school, and you've got all these elementary schools, 11 elementary schools, funneling into the middle schools. And so you're hoping that the kids who have gone to these 11 different elementary schools are now on the same page at the middle school. So how do you, you know, what do you guys do to kind of, you know, facilitate that?
Sure. Well, so Dr. Winning Hannum and I, we are very aligned what we're trying to do at all of our schools. And that's really to put instruction as the focus.
Yeah.
We are schools for that, you know, as a matter of fact. And so we often say, besides safety, because that is the most important thing at school. Absolutely.
Yes.
But besides that, we are schools. And so instruction should truly be the focus. And so we do collaborate quite a bit on the practices, you know, that we're recommending and encouraging in our schools across grade levels. And you're exactly right. When they come all funnel into fifth grade, we want them to have a bank of knowledge that is in common so they can have those deep conversations as they continue to move on through the ranks.
And I'm sure that takes a lot of meeting on your part with your principals to make sure that, you know, what you believe is what they believe is then what the teachers believe and what they're actually teaching. And so it just goes down the line. About how many meetings a week do you think you have with principals and teachers and just talking about these things?
Oh, goodness. You know, they're with different people, so I don't want you to think I'm pulling in the principals, you know.
Right.
A lot. But there are a lot of meetings, and I remember Jill telling me there's a lot of meetings. But they're with a variety of stakeholders, so I may meet with the principals. I may go in and be with the teachers when they're prepping. I may be meeting with our district staff. I may be meeting with somebody at the state.
Right.
So all of this is just to keep in. It's all of this work is really focused around what's best for kids and really trying to change the trajectory of some of these kids' lives and every kid's life, really, and put them on a path for success. And so all of those meetings, I couldn't even imagine to say, because some have more meetings than others. So, but all of it, the work is based on what we want to do for kids and really, really trying to create an experience for them in our schools that is nurturing and valuable and furthering their education.
And I know we just went through four graduations with Vital and Upperman and Cookeville High and Monterey. And as a curriculum instructor from somebody who's seen them in the elementary level, to see them continue to grow and then graduate, that has to be very rewarding, very satisfying.
Oh, it is. It is. It just warms my heart. Just seeing them all come to fruition. And I know it's just the beginning for them.
Yeah.
But it feels like a full circle for me because I see them when they're younger and they're little. And just to see them just so excited on that graduation day and knowing they have their whole future ahead of them and that our school system has equipped them with, you know, just the skills they need and the knowledge they need to move forward and whatever, you know, obstacles come their way is just, it is, it's huge passion and heartwarming for me.
Yes. Well, speaking of moving forward, that's all the time we have. Dr. Dana Woods, the K-4 curriculum instructor for supervisor for Putnam County Schools. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.